We're here today with Texas and Dr. Syra from Dragonfly Wellness. Where is Dragonfly Wellness located?
140 Hudson Avenue.
And what is it that you guys do there?
We have a vision to help people to be their best self, however that comes about. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah, we had a dream that people could go to one place and get all of their kind of wellness needs met. So whether it's their body, their mind, emotions, their spirituality, it's all in one place, one-stop shop.
Right. So we're trying to gather the best folks that we can to help us with that. So we have about 5 practitioners now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And different modalities. A nice space. We also want to reach back into the community. So we have every Wednesday, we have from 6 to 7 o'clock, we have a community meditation open for anybody who wants to come by. And the idea of that is to build community so that we have something that we're giving back to the community. And it's been about 10 months now, right? Since we first opened.
Yeah.
And we're getting really good turnout.
And it's by donation, and we're raising funds for the Canadian Mental Health Association.
Right.
That's where the money goes. So again, trying to find ways to give back to the community.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Syra has extensive background in transpersonal counseling.
Mm-hmm.
How many years now?
Almost 2 decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She started when she was really young. and I've been working in the energetic fields for a long, long time. We'll just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we have seen some, and I guess if we had to put a word around what we're trying to do and what we're trying to offer is there's a lot of places you can go to have a spiritual or a transformational, or not even transformational, but just an experience of something. But we're wanting to do the transformational piece where we have people come in and they're stuck in their trauma, or they're stuck in a belief system, something physical, and we want to see that person be able to come to a more whole version of themselves, right?
Yeah, so we really wanted it to be a place where there's clear outcomes, and it's evidence-based and
right.
Kind of bridging. That's how I see us, right? We're kind of a bridging solution between kind of mainstream traditional interventions, like mainstream medical institutions, if you will, and the spiritual realms, right? And so we're somewhere in that middle where we're seeing the value of the spiritual experience, but also with evidence-based outcomes.
Right. And so when you talk about spiritual stuff, some of that's just what we like the term ancient wisdom,
mm-hmm.
right? Comes
exactly.
from all kinds of cultures. It's not culturally based. We use Far East stuff, your background in pranic and Ayurvedic healing,
mm-hmm.
and we bring all that into one place, right? It's a pretty open space. And it's harder than you think to get a whole bunch of people going in the same direction. So when Dr. Syra and I met, it was like kind of an instant bonding over the same desired outcome,
mm-hmm.
right? It was like, yeah, we both want the same thing.
Yeah.
And so we kind of jumped into that. And within a very few months, because we've only been open for 10 months, something, not even.
Well, our grand opening was in October.
Yeah, so not quite 10. My mouth
like
isn't my strong
months.
Suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we met about a year ago.
About a year
right?
ago, yeah.
And it was a really interesting story of our meeting. I was kind of looking for a massage, and I walked into the space, and Texas was offering massages, and we got to talking and developed this friendship, and our spouses met, and the four of us just really hit it off, and just kind of getting to know each other. And then a business opportunity came up, and we took it, and it's been turbo speed, but definitely like dreams coming true,
right.
for sure.
And a big thing that people won't see when they come into Dragonfly is there's an academy being built, an online academy. We're spending a lot of time and effort and money to get that going so that we can reach past just the folks that can come in. So Syra has a fairly large online client base.
Mm-hmm.
I have a fairly large online client base growing all the time. And then we want to be able to teach on that format. So why don't you tell them what you did this morning?
This morning, so we had about 130-ish people registered for this mini workshop that I did, where I was talking about counseling for South Asian clients. So there's some specific tools that people can learn so that we can adapt mainstream counseling methodologies to people from all backgrounds. And I'm really, really passionate about that, to make sure everybody's included in mental health, not just specific people. And so, yeah, we had people on the call and we taught the class, and it was huge. Like, it's been a work in progress, and to have everybody come and be in the Zoom room together. And it was just like, yeah, you can see me smiling. I really, really.
They can't because it's radio siren.
Yeah. You can hear it.
We can hear, you can hear
my smile.
Smile.
Yeah. Yeah. So teaching courses online and kind of creating not just a local buzz, but like an internet, like we have people around the world that are kind of tuning in and wanting to learn some of this stuff, where there's that meeting point between the mainstream and spiritual
practices. We have clients in Holland and Australia and
Tanzania, India.
Yeah. That's kind of neat from Salmon Arm perspective that we're able to touch that broad of base, right?
Yeah.
How does the transformational experience begin? Do people just come in off the street, or how does that typically work?
That's such a good question. So some people just literally come in off the street. They're just curious, like, what are you doing here? And something kind of pulls them in. And so we might talk to them about what we're up to. They might meet with one of us and have an initial consult. But lots of people come in through our meditation. So every week on Wednesdays, we have a community meditation.
We're mostly all there hanging out, right? So people can meet us and...
Yeah, so we're all there and we do the meditation. And there's a little bit of like tea and treats after, and we chat. And so that's where people start asking questions and deciding kind of what might be the thing that they're looking for. So again, for some people, it's physical pain. For some people, it's, you know, looking for that spiritual alignment. For some people, it's their mental health. So whatever it is that they need, they can kind of enter in any direction. That's what
that's
we wanted.
The whole idea,
yeah,
right?
That you
so
can come
where
in.
Where you come from, we're going to end up at the same place, right? What it is it that you've been carrying, how do you put it down, and what would you be like if you could put that down?
Right. And that the person is not just their mind or just their body. It's like, you know, we're hoping to treat the whole person and their family, like relationships as well, right? Because we do some relationship coaching as well. So,
and even in a family, like I work with several people where, you know, you start working with one person, you end up working with
others,
all the people in the same family, because a lot of those traumatic roots go deep.
Right.
And if we can work with, you know, three or four people in the same family, sometimes the transformation is pretty dramatic.
And some of what we're doing is that intergenerational work, right? So somebody in the family is kind of ready for that change, and it's changing them, but it's also impacting generations to come.
Yes.
Right. And healing things that are ancestral for some families.
Right.
So, yeah, that systems approach is really important to us as well, that it's not just about the individual person. It's what's the context that they're coming in, and how can we strengthen everybody in the system, not just the one person who's working with us.
You were talking today. We had lunch together today, which was lovely. You were talking about that piece that you want to teach in our next course. So we have some upcoming courses, too, like Dr. Siren are teaching a live course on March the 16th from 2 to 4. I think it's pretty much full already, but
I know already. So that one's called Back to Basics, the 6 Building Blocks for Personal Growth and Spiritual Alignment. And we're just kind of talking about principles that you may kind of already know, but framing it in a very different way so you can use it. That's my big thing. Like, there's all this great content out there, but how do you use it, right, in your real life with your real family members and friends? And so that's what we'll be looking at is getting people some really clear language and tools around how to implement this stuff in their own life. Because the other thing we don't want, what we really don't want, is for people to have to keep coming back over and over and over and over and over for years to counseling or to energy work or whatever. We want people to kind of realign to themselves, and then they have that wisdom anyway. We really believe that people have the wisdom they need. Our job is to help quiet the noise and get them back to listening to themselves.
Is it like helping somebody discover that wisdom that they may have known they had, or they may not have known? But what's it like when you see that that light bulb moment for
people? It's why we do this.
Yeah, such an honor.
Yeah, it's both. I think one of our alignments is that both Sire and I feel that that's probably the highest level of trust and that we can be offering and be offered. To sit with somebody in that intimate space is...
Like, you see it, you see the click, right? And it's like they just shift out of the fear and out of the stories and out of the worry into like, oh, this is who I am, right? And it's just, there's nothing like it. It's just such an honor.
It's the best, right?
Yeah.
And for us, you know, this isn't something that we do from 9 to 5. For both Dr. Sire and I, and for our spouses, Monique and Faizan and everybody that works there, it's a life commitment.
Right.
We're either studying new stuff or talking about new stuff or getting together for supper and talking about the same stuff. but it's kind of an all-encompassing.
It's a vision, right?
Yeah.
It's not a job.
Yeah. It's a calling.
Vision. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in answer to your question, it's the very, very best thing.
It's the type of work, there's no start, there's no end. It's a journey,
right?
And you can't put time constraints on something like that.
Right.
And people go deeper, right? So somebody might have kind of an experience and a transformation, and it brings them into, oh, now I have this vision for my life. And then there might be some interest in getting guidance around that, or they might be needing to learn some things. Like we teach Reiki classes, for example. So if people are interested in learning for themselves how to do this work, they can learn that. And so we're kind of walking beside people, but also trusting that they're the masters of their journey.
Right. Maybe on that point, I'll say one of the things that maybe, I don't like the word separates from us, but maybe, you know, we're pretty big on accountability. And so I want to be accountable to a group of people who care about what I'm doing and care that I'm doing it in the proper way. Mm-hmm. So having Dr. Syra as our clinical supervisor, and that's her capacity, is huge for me, right? It gives me a nice umbrella to sit underneath. Right? Because I know she's going to call me to task if she sees something. And we're all trying to do that. So it becomes a lot less about the egos involved, or hopefully not at all about the egos involved in this, in our center, and all about the individual that comes in. Right? What's the best
thing? How do we serve this client?
Yeah, how do we serve this client? Is it better that they sit with Dr. Syra? Then let's do that. Or if it may be better to come in and what we call, what I do is targeted energy transformation. So it's a mix of about a bunch of modalities.
Yeah.
Right. But the idea is in the name. We target something that you want to see changed in your life. We take some energy maybe that you don't have in and of yourself, and we watch for the transformation. Right.
Right.
So if that's what you need, then you come and see me, and we have other individuals that do stuff. Chelsea's our Reiki master and teacher and does a lot of somatic
help. Body-based work.
Yeah. Right. We were just joined by
Lucas.
Yeah. And he's another transpersonal counselor.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be he'll be open for more clients because we're so busy, you know, which I don't want it to sound like a complaint because we're very blessed, but I can't keep up, right? I'm booked out 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You have no slots.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not happening. So we have to build capacity.
Yeah.
So our vision is to replace ourselves. Right?
That's the plan.
We want to raise the awareness in the center and help folks to do what we do so we can go do more teaching.
Right. We have Dr. Kim coming on board.
Yes. So tell about that.
Dr. Kim, she's really interested. She's a physician, and she's really interested in nutrition and looking at people's medications and kind of rejigging that. Like, you know, what are you on? And do you need to be on that still? Or what does that look like? So that's her interest, is kind of getting people back to using nutrition and lifestyle in addition to the other things that they might need.
Yeah.
But we're really excited to have her on board.
Because she can take us further than we can go.
Yeah.
Right? She can draw blood. She can get the blood test done. But yeah, so she's coming probably in the next couple of months, right? Mm-hmm. We're starting to see her.
Yep.
We're making space for her. We hope it's a big benefit for the Salmon Arm area to be able to have a place where they can come and see that broad of span of practitioners.
Was there something about Salmon Arm that lends itself to such practice such as Dragonfly Wellness?
Yeah.
I think there's something about this place, right? So my husband and I were in Surrey just a few years ago, 3 years ago, and we drove through. We've driven on the Trans-Canada, you know, twice a year because I have family in Calgary, family in Vancouver. We've driven this road all the time. Never really noticed Salmon Arm except for to fill up gas maybe. And we were looking for a living space that would accommodate more family members. And my sister had the idea, an out-of-a-box idea of a place, a property down here. And so we just came one afternoon for a drive and drove by Shuswap Lake in the Blind Bay area. And the two of us just looked at each other and said, oh, this feels like home. You know, there's something about this place that just feels like home. And I've heard that from so many people who have come here in the last 5 years or so. It's like something's calling us, something's drawing us to Salmon Arm. So, and the surrounding area. So we're in Blind Bay, my husband and I and our kids, but there's just something, it feels almost magical about this space. There's an openness, there's a willingness. And then, I mean, you can't, with the lake and the mountains and like, how do you, it doesn't get much better.
No, and I think that if we go further back, if we go back to the natives that lived in the area, this was always considered a holy place, right? Mount Ida was considered
sacred land,
right?
Yeah.
And those things are timeless and they extend far past our vision of what humanity is, mm-hmm. right? So if once you're kind of got your radio dial tuned into the spirituality, you can feel these places and they draw you, right? If you're supposed to be here, you'll end up here.
Yeah. And we hear that. We hear that from our practitioners. We hear that from our clients that come. It's like something drew them into this space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you get the chance to drop by, most people that walk into our space that we've created. We'll give some props to Monique on that one. My wife, she's really worked hard to get the vibe the right way. Mm-hmm. People come in and they go, what are you guys doing in here? Because it feels so
different. Feels good.
Feels so different. Yeah. Feels light, right?
Yeah.
And that's what we want, right? We want people to be able to come and have a place of sanctuary, right?
Right.
In the truest sense, where we can help them to move past whatever that is in their life, mm-hmm. that's causing them.
And that doesn't define them, right? This current issue that you're facing is just a tiny moment in your life and doesn't define you. You can get through it. And we have experts that can help you get through it.
I liked what you said earlier, that we're very much processed and outcome based. And that takes some fortitude to be able to stand in that and say, but we have evidence. We see people come in and leave and they're radically different people.
Yep.
And that's proof positive for me that I'm doing the right thing, right? We're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Dr. Sarah, you just mentioned how people are not defined by what's in their lives. Why do so many people feel that they are, that they feel that that's who they are? Why do you think that people feel like that?
I think it's once we get into that kind of fight or flight mind, we can start identifying like, this is who I am. Because the brain is just trying to keep you alive. That's the brain's job, is to keep you alive. And so the brain will say, this is a problem, this is a problem, this is a problem. And so all of our focus goes on to our problems and staying alive. But the spirit knows that you're more than this brain and you're more than your thoughts and you're more than your emotions. And so when we can kind of step out of ourselves a little bit and see a bigger perspective, you see that, no, this is just a moment in time, right? And you can probably look back on your life to times when it felt really bad, but then you got through it. Right. And that didn't define you. That didn't stop you. You kept moving forward. And so I think, to be honest, society supports us staying stuck.
Oh, for sure. It does.
Because if we're stuck, then we have to buy more stuff and we have to do all these things that don't really help.
They distract, right?
They distract us. Yeah. If we were to all know that all we needed was our own highest self, and that just took a click, well, then there's a lot of stuff that we wouldn't need, right? And so I think that the design is kind of to keep us in that suffering space, and I just don't buy it. I don't think it needs to be like that. And if our clients see that, it doesn't have to be like that.
And so when we go in with someone and we can help, we have tools. This isn't theory.
Specific tools
to move through the emotional trauma that you may be stuck in, to get yourself back into a flow state, mm-hmm. to follow your intuition. These are all stuff that we work with in the center. So then that person is able to get out of that story that they've been in, that's defined who they are, mm-hmm. right? We don't need that story anymore.
Right.
And it's a really exciting journey when you start to find out, oh, I'm not the sum of all my past failures and stuff. I'm something much more.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Right. Right.
That's an amazing thing. That's what you're saying to your earlier question. When that aha light bulb goes on, people go, oh, I actually don't have to pack this around for the next 50 years.
Right.
I could be free now. And then who would I look like?
Right. And so many of us, you know, to your question as well, are carrying baggage that we inherited, right? So our parents, grandparents, whoever, like there's these stories passed down in families that we're carrying forward, and we could be the ones to make a change. Someone in the family is going to decide, no, I don't want to carry this forward. I want to change.
There's a lot of silence in families too.
Mm.
And how does that affect a person's wellness?
That's a great question. So, you know, when we talk about fight or flight, silence is about the flight, the running away, the not talking about it, the putting it under the rug, the numbing out, the disconnecting, the disassociating. And we are emotional beings. That's part of how we're designed. So when we're not actually talking and we're not actually connecting, we're not actually solving problems, right? We're just pushing them away for some future date and somebody else will have to deal with that. But there is ways to talk in families, and that's something that I teach, right? How do we actually talk to each other in a way that we're moving in a healing direction rather than just blaming and fighting? And because that's the other end of the spectrum is the big outbursts and the fights, and that also isn't helpful, right? That also can be really damaging in families. So we mm-hmm. want to be somewhere where we're talking about things in a constructive way, and we can teach people how to do that.
And do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Can that silence and avoidance of negative things that may have carried through a generation, can that actually cause a manifestation?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Physically, psychologically, yes. And we see that all the time. People say, you know, nothing really happened to me. I have a good life, but I feel this burden. I feel this weight, or I can't seem to get a break, or bad things keep happening to me. Absolutely. So the Lakota people say you are the dream that began 7 generations ago, right? So what we're carrying is not just ours. And when we heal it, it's not just our own healing.
Right.
It's for generations.
And that piece around what you just said. So with a lot of the energy type modalities, we believe that the energy body is the thing that gets sick first.
Right.
Right. So that depletion of energy then is transferred into the body so it can manifest, as you said, can manifest in actual disease. So disease, Dr. Joe Dispenza loves to say this, is dis-ease. It's something in the body that's not at ease.
Right.
We carry that long enough. Oh, my shoulder starts to hurt. Right. I got this pain in my back. My digestion's off. I have a heart condition. A lot of these things are avoidable and even reversible. If we deal with the emotional trauma that started them.
We knew this a while ago, but it seems somehow we're not talking about that connection between mental and spiritual well-being and the physical body. Like somehow we've forgotten to talk about that.
We think we've maybe this is stepping out, but I think that we've divested ourselves of our responsibility. When we give away our responsibility for our own health, then we give away our ability to do something, about it, right? So
right.
We would rather just go, what is it that I need to do? And hopefully I can go to the drugstore and take a pill, whatever that is, and it masks that thing and we don't get to the root of it.
And that's our hope, is that we're getting to the root of things with people. We're actually going to root causes and clearing things out. You know, it's kind of like gardening. I've really gotten into gardening the last couple
so
of years.
So much is kind of a bit of a problem.
I love the garden. So it's like dandelions, right? You can cut that dandelion. It's going to grow back year after year after year. But you got to, you know, if you really want to get rid of it, you kind of got to get in there and dig it out. And there's a
dirty,
big fat root, and it's dirty and it takes effort. And maybe like throw some chili sauce on the root system or whatever, those home remedies to get rid of it once and for all.
We'll talk later.
Chili sauce. But you got to do the dirty work, and it's hard work. But you only have to do it once, right? You don't have to keep doing it over and over every year, because now the dandelion's just not going to come back. And that's what we're trying to do here is unroot things. And it takes a little bit of effort up front, but it's for the long term, transformational.
So we're excited about the transformation that we're seeing. We've done almost zero advertising. Most of what we have is word of mouth, right? And,
yeah.
and that's, of course, for us, makes us feel very good about the work that's happening, because it takes a lot of, and I will throw this out to anybody who happens to be listening, who is one of our clients, we thank you, because when you say to somebody that you're close to, or that's a friend, you need to go here because they can help you. That's a level of trust that we don't take lightly at all, right? So when we get a referral, it's a big deal, right? And we get lots of them, so we're happy with that, right?
And our goal is to just reach as many people as we can. And that's why some of the online stuff as well, right?
Yeah.
Because this is not a secret. Nope. We want to make sure lots of people know that they get to choose the kind of life that they want. And some little adjustments that might have to be made, some little digging, and then you could have it.
I have an idea that some people, they're aware of their potential and what they could be, but it scares them. And why do you think that is?
Well, you're talking to two people in the room that have broken through some of those barriers, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it has to do with their safety. Going back to what Cyrus said, there's safety in repeating the pattern you've always repeated, right?
Right. So it's comfortable.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't feel good, it's what I've always done.
I've known this.
I know this. This is familiar. So as soon as we start stepping away and saying, oh, I could be trying this other thing, all of our resistance will come up. The ego will come up. You know, all of our doubts and fears will come up. Other people will tell us we can't do it. And that's the test, right? That's the what I call the mastery level test. Are you going to still stay on track and on vision and kind of on purpose,
right?
Or get derailed?
Right. So I just wanted to say, Cyrus, our language person, she knows the nicest ways to say things. And we've been talking a bit through this little interview about the ego, but we haven't explained that. So
what
that means
is
a very different thing to a lot of people who might be listening.
Yeah.
Right?
So
explain
ego,
that.
The way that we understand the ego is kind of how we talk about it in psychology. So it's the part of our mind that's basically its job is to keep you safe. And it really believes that you're separate and that you should be special. And that other people should not be special, and that you're better than other people or you're worse than other people. It's about comparing.
Oh, judgment. Yeah.
Judgment and comparison. And it it's attached to the part of our brain that is just trying to keep us alive. So it has had a function throughout our life.
Still alive.
Right? We're still alive. We're still here. However, as we grow, so like, for example, a 2-year-old needs to know that they can and cannot do certain things, that there's limitations, right? But as they grow to a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, those limitations change. The problem is many of us have gotten stuck in our 2-year-old brain, or our 5-year-old brain or 10-year-old brain because of maybe stuff that's happened in the past or experiences that we've had. And so we stop ourselves from growing without even meaning to,
right?
And this is all unconscious. And so that's what we're talking about with the ego. It's that part of us that stops us from changing and growing because it doesn't feel safe.
So if we take somebody through the process and we're taking them using a certain set of tools to get them out of that, what we call the egoic mind, and releasing that and coming back into more of an identification with who you are as your higher self or in that flow state. And this is accomplished lots of ways. And you'll hear athletes talk about, I was in this flow
in
state.
In the zone,
right? Yeah. But unfortunately, it's really hard to live there for an athlete, right? They have periods of that and they seek that. Musicians too. You're playing, sitting with a good musician here, and all of a sudden you're playing something you've never played that well before. And you go, wow, I didn't know how to do that. And I did that.
Right.
But what we're trying to do is apply that to life. So maybe for a few hours a day, you could be your best self. And then maybe all day you could be your best self.
Wow.
And the mind gets quieter.
Yes. Quieter.
Those who work with me know my mind hardly works at all.
Well, we talk, one of the things that I like to teach my clients is about the monkey mind, right? That mind that's like always chattering and always has something to do and somewhere to go and like go. And it's a great distraction from living our purpose, from doing what we came here to do, from our calling.
And I think as a general concept, I would like to say that you should never make a decision for yourself that's based in fear, right? If you're afraid to do something or if you're making it because you're angry.
Right.
Don't do that.
Those heights of emotion.
Yeah. That's the egoic mind, and it's going to keep you stuck in a pattern. And if you can't figure out how to get out of that, that's kind of what we help with.
And part of the work is around learning how to regulate, right? Because emotions are useful, but they can't be in charge.
No.
Because then, like, we make bad decisions when we're heightened, right? And so learning to regulate, learning about what's the difference between the voice of fear and the voice of intuition, like, these are things that we train people in.
What is intuition?
Well, how long do we have?
Intuition.
Yeah. We all have it. Everybody that's had an experience, at least one experience where they went, don't go down that alley, or I shouldn't have bought
something. Feels wrong here.
I bought this thing and I knew when I bought it, I shouldn't have bought it. Where did you know that? If you think about that, that never occurred in your mind.
Right.
That was lower in your heart.
Yeah.
In your chest.
It's like a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But we are trained at best to not really pay too much attention to that. It's probably wrong.
Right.
And this monkey mind wants to take over. So a pretty smart guy called Einstein said that intuition is never wrong. It's right 100% of the time, right? So he knew what that was about. So that intuitive knowingness is something that we're designed actually to follow.
Kids have it.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, I recognized that when I was quite young. And it's very strong, but I didn't necessarily know what it was. And then I think we're taught not to recognize it.
Right.
Because it...
Prove it. That's the thing we get taught, right? Well, how do you know that?
It's like, I just know. So, you know, Dr. Gabor Mate is a physician out in Vancouver, and he talks about authenticity. He works within the space of addiction and trauma, and he talks about authenticity, and he says that, you know, early humans, not even early humans, just a few generations ago, we had to be really in touch with our intuition. When we lived in the wild, right? Mm-hmm. Texas grew up in the wild.
I did, yeah.
And you need to trust your gut on things. That instinct.
You don't have to know how thick the ice is when you're going to walk on it. You just know that you should or shouldn't.
Right. You just have that feeling.
Right.
And modern society kind of trains us out of that because it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into the 9-to-5. It doesn't fit into the structures that are required.
It doesn't have a purpose.
Well, it only has a purpose for me, not for...
Right.
But what's really neat about intuition, when we're tuned in, what we find is if I'm doing what's best for me intuitively, it tends to be also best for others. So, because one of the worries is, well, then I'm going to be, excuse me, all about me. No, because we're actually linked. Back to gardening, it's like the root system, right? Underground, the roots are all connected to each other. The plants might look different and stand in different places, but that root system, it's like a living thing. And we have that in our unconscious. Like, this isn't my idea. This is like Carl Jung and Freud and all the big, you know, the old guys that talked about this
stuff.
Even
older guys.
Even old, I mean, that's the modern, right? But back to like ancient, the Vedic texts and Chinese medicine, like it's all there that we're connected. And so when I'm actually in alignment with my higher self, and I'm beside one other person who's also there, it's like, it's not just 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 + 1 = enlightenment. It's a very different experience.
Yeah. It's a big question. And it at the end of the day, if you're in what we call a flow state and the egoic mind has been anchored and put in its proper place, then we flow with our intuition.
Right, because there's a task. We can give that part of our mind tasks.
Absolutely.
It's great at helping us to do our taxes.
I was going to say find my keys, but it doesn't do that well.
Right, tasks with deadlines and things, we do need that part of us.
Yeah. But the task itself should be defined by our heart, by the intuition.
Right.
Like, this is what I'm going to do.
Right.
Now help me do that.
Help me do that, right. We enlist it.